There's a short list of nations that daily salute their flag and say an oath to the country. But among them are the Soviet Union, China, North Korea, Nazi Germany, and the United States.
I just stopped the first recording because I got all of that.
Cool.
And now I'm restarting the recording.
Okay. Okay.
The first part was Patreon only. Right?
Probably.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Welcome.
Of course it will be Patreon only.
I'm Rasmus.
And I'm here too.
And I'm entertained.
Cool. How are you, Rasmus?
My day was going splendidly. And then I had to talk to you guys.
Damn, what a shame. Could have been a perfect day.
So close. It was this close, I tell you.
How are you?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I have delivered a job today.
Nice.
Which it keeps surprising me when a job goes so well that nothing wrong happens.
It's called professionalism.
And then the customer...
You're getting there.
It's super, well, it is a very new, unusual feeling. I had a customer who wanted more of the column things I made that we're going to wrap with flowers and things for weddings and events and whatnot.
Yes.
So they ordered 8 more of those and a few other bits.
Yeah.
And the only thing that quote-unquote went wrong was that... to explain it, when I sort of weld like pipe to a big plate of steel, the plate will warp because of heat, and as it cools down again, it pulls together.
Mm-hmm.
So the plate will warp. So I take all of the corners of the plate and I hammer them over the edge of the anvil a little bit just to get some traction, make some feet out of them, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nothing advanced. I was doing that on one of them and I hit it once a bit crookedly, so the whole thing vibrated, and I just heard this pling, and the top cap I had welded on just went flying.
Nice.
The
workshop. That's cool.
And I looked at it, I was like, I had two thoughts. Well, fuck this, but also I'm glad it happened now.
Yeah.
And if that's the worst thing about this job, this is good. This is a good job.
Yeah.
So I had to find the little cap, I ground a new bevel on it, and I stuck it on, and I welded it back on. And like, a bit weird to... use the angle grinder inside of other columns and things like that, but it was fine. It was like, okay, this cost me 7 minutes of time.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that.
Can I ask a question?
5 minutes of welding and 2 minutes of cursing?
Something like that.
The other way around, maybe. Could you weld your big plate to your welding table and then weld all the pipes in order to reduce this amount of warping and shrinking?
It would reduce it, but it wouldn't mitigate it completely.
Okay.
So what I did on the first batch, also then I used a thicker plate, so I needed to pump more heat into it,
mm-hmm.
and then it would warp more. But what I did then is I took a bit of plate underneath where I'm going to weld.
Mm-hmm.
To lift it up 3 millimeters or something.
Okay.
And then I clamped the corners down. So I sort of overbent the corners down.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was welding it, it would pull itself back up again. And that got pretty close to a neutral.
Yeah, that can be read what you said with like welding it down. What mm-hmm. usually happens with that, if you warp it, you got tension on it. It's holding. Yeah. It's been held down by the welds, but you got the tension. So the second you start putting on the flex to like flex off the corners to loosen it again, you got a giant spring.
Yeah, sure.
That's trying to take off.
Makes sense.
It probably wouldn't be bad, but yeah.
Well, you say that. When I worked for Trump with the lasers, I had a customer who thought it was an absolutely great idea to take one of the old rusty blades out in the backyard that was already curved and just clamp it down by force on the on the flatbed.
Yeah.
And then he started lasering.
Yeah.
So not just was he introducing heat to make it even more bend, the second the part was done cutting, it sprang up.
Yeah.
That would have been bad by itself. What the customer forgot is that as soon as it's done, it's like with a 3D printer, it goes into a reference position.
Yeah.
So you got the gantry moving about 4 meters or not, no, it's more like 2-3 meters, so probably 8 feet within 1 second forward.
Oh, that.
While that piece was still in the air.
Yeah.
Getting caught by the gantry. and being pushed through the machine forward.
Like, nice. It
basically cut the control panel in half and missed the operator like a couple of centimeters.
That's, yeah. that's a day for wearing brown underwear.
Yeah, so they called me to repair it, and I got there and I saw the cut, and I was just like, first of all, why did you call me? Because that machine is totaled.
Yeah,
like you basically cut the PC and the controlling PC in half, and the other one is like, I don't see blood. That means the operator's still alive. They're like, yes, but he literally shat his pants.
Yeah, oh my god! Yeah,
and I looked at it, and the clamps were still on there. It's like, well, I guess you're not doing that again.
Yeah, I would argue though that probably was a lot of more of a bigger plate with more warping in it than what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, we're talking about almost like 3/4-inch steel blade.
Yeah.
And I don't know how big the part was itself, but judging by the cut, it was probably like a diameter of 4 feet.
Yeah, just big, big blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about a square of 35 centimeters.
Okay. Yeah.
So not that thick.
That's still a floppy that could hurt if it jumps up and like lands on you.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we learned to duck.
Quack.
Point. Good point.
Yes. Also, I was teaching a blacksmithing class this weekend, but also that went fine. So there's not much interesting to talk about there.
Yeah, how many people this time? That.
Six people.
Six people. That's fine. That's good.
Yep. That seems like a good.
I actually had a fellow come back. He took a class with me 4 years ago, and now he came back to take it again with his son.
Yeah, that's great.
That was kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It means that you are doing things right.
Returning customer.
Yeah.
I think so. It's a weird feeling of accomplishment, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, cool. Yeah. What about you? As Raz would say.
Not too much. I had a normal day on Monday. Well, I mean, when I got back from the vacation, like this, there was a lot of stuff going on. It was fine. Like Monday was a normal day. Then I had the day off on Tuesday because I've been celebrating my coming of age.
Ha. Yay! Thursday.
Yeah.
You're old. You're old.
No, and I'm not even vintage. I'm like, it was really
that's
nice.
The word. I'm just, that's the right one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just, but no, a friend of mine, she wrote me a really nice match and said, I just should do it like the numbers, or I'm just doing it like numbers on the thermostat, and I'm just getting hotter each year.
Yeah.
Which was really, really nice. And I know she was lying, but yeah. No, I spent a relaxing day with Steph. We went for breakfast, then we had a Thai massage in the afternoon, and then just my parents came and visited, and we had a glass of sparkling wine down at the Kessler at the champagne place. Yep. And I went to bed.
You said champagne place?
I mean, it's like they're making sparkling wine, but they're basically making champagne, but they're not allowed to call it.
Yeah, because it's only from the
region Champagne. But the guy who opened up, like, it's the oldest place to make sparkling wine in Germany. And the guy who opened up the place, George von Kessler, he used to be the accountant of Clicquot.
Oh.
So he basically, they said he had a little fling going on with the widow. And when he fell out of favor, he basically quit, moved back to Germany, but took the recipes with him and started making the champagne or sparkling wine here.
Okay. Nice story. Yeah. Interesting. So, probably was the best champagne that you can buy for your money. Veuve Clicquot. It's just, to me, it's the best. But
okay. Yeah. So what they kind of do is for fun, because they're not allowed to be called champagne, but they take it, some of their sparkling wines and mix it in with the champagnes from Champagne when they have their blind testing. Yeah. And they say it's from the 20 they throw in, it's always within the top three.
Okay, cool. Nice.
Yeah, and some of them just won different gold medals and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm not too deep into it. It tastes good. I can tell you that. So it was nice. It was
a nice afternoon,
and I had some friends stopping by. So yeah, I had a lot of fun. So I thoroughly enjoyed that day. And the day after that was just going back to work.
Cool.
Yeah.
You have to make it official. How old are you now?
40.
40. The big, big.
Two more years till I have the answer to everything.
Yes.
Looking at Red, you might have to lose that answer.
Yeah. You learn it and you forget it. At once, like you're only allowed to know it for.
Oh, only the answer is important. Like I don't need the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yes.
How about you guys, Red? How was your day?
My day was busy. It was Tardis Day. I had to take care of my car, so it took me the full day to do it, change the tires back to summer tires and clean inside, outside, and check everything. So my car is ready for the next 6 months, unless something breaks, which is always a possibility. But
someone would call it a certainty.
Yeah, hopefully not. But yeah, I'm prepared. Had to do the same thing with my wife's car. So a lot of money going into that because she needs new tires and new. I can't check her car by myself because it's a kind of new car. It's only 3 years old. So we've decided to have it done by a professional for the first 5 years, because there is a warranty thing on the car that gets extended if you do the maintenance of the car every year at their place, which is great, but still very expensive, new tires, everything. So both cars are okay. The house is okay. My PC is okay. My new PC is up and running. I'm super happy with it. I'm ready to get back to work. Actually, it's been the kind of, I told you guys last week that I took a 1 week holiday break sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after the recording last Thursday, I finished my PC, finished a few things around the house that needed to be done, took care of the cars today. So now my schedule is free for work, so to speak.
So you were basically clear on the backlog. And I would argue that building the PC was already like a huge part towards your job.
Yeah, absolutely. we mentioned that in the podcast, but it's maybe not my main tool for work, but it's a very big one, very important one. That's how I design my stuff, how I make the videos, how I create basically and get also inspiration. So that's a big part of what I do.
Yeah, how you do do the paperwork in a digital forum.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Everything concerning the company, everything concerning my laser work, everything concerning, including my schedule and my communication and my research when I need some inspiration or whatever. I do it on my computer. So I needed this computer to be running again and operational again. So I may have gone a little bit what's the word?
Overboard?
Yeah. Maybe.
let me just have a sentence for you. If you think you did too much, you probably did too much.
Yes. I certainly did too
much. It looks nice though.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you went out of character because it's not red.
No, it's not red. I decided to not go red and black this time because it was my first PC was black and red. So I was like, yeah, let's do something different. Let's show that it's a new machine and go to it's the next phase. It's the second chapter or whatever you want to call it. It's like it's different part of my life. So different computer. It makes sense to me. So yeah, now it's purple. It's black and purple. And I love it. It's absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. But it was scary to push the start button for the first time because like if I push that and something fries, I'm so fucked. And it's just like expensive
smelling burned electronics. Just going like, oh fuck no.
No, but I took the time to check, double check, triple check everything, and it went right the first time. So I'm really really happy with this new machine. It's really fast, it's beautiful, so but it was very expensive, so That's the downside.
But it will bring you joy for many more years to come.
Yeah, hopefully I can. Yeah, I checked my the first one, the one I was using before, lived for 4 years without any kind of trouble. Mm-hmm. And then I had this problem with the GPU, so I had to change it. But 4 years is a quite good number for a PC. It's like it should last longer, obviously, if you are using it properly. But as a main tool for work, that's fine. I mean, consider buying a router and using it every day, all day for 4 years. After 4 years, it's not a crazy idea to that you would have to buy a new one. Mm-hmm. So that's how I'm trying to see things in order to get reassured that it was not like a crazy expense to do. And anyway, so it's been my week. Maintenance and new chapter is opening, like, so to speak. Like I'm rested. I have my motivation back. I have all my tools back, and everything that was in my way to get back to work and to be productive and effective is done. So now I can finally get back to what I really want to do. So it's how I see things and help me. And yeah, I'm happy with.
So, you're ready to conquer the world.
Not, yeah.
One leather project at a time.
Yeah, exactly. One belt, one leather belt at a time. One piece of armor at a time. No, not the world, but yeah, I'm back, baby. That's the spirit. That's not maybe practically what it is, but that's the spirit. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
and soon you will have knives.
Yes, they just arrived in the country, so they should be delivered very, very soon.
That's wonderful. I haven't checked. I just guessed.
I just got the email like 2 hours ago. It was like, hey, it's in your country. You're going to have to pay taxes now. So, hey, cool. hopefully not. Never know with postal services in France. Like, might happen. So I'm prepared to... That.
You shouldn't.
But. No, I think I shouldn't, because we discussed that. And so for the people who don't know...
It is secret. Moving on.
Okay.
No, so. It's not. But it just won't be funny.
I'm getting knives. That's it.
Oh, you're Steving now. So it's something I kind of want to talk about it, but I can't really talk about it.
No, it's not a secret. Rasmus and I decided to make a sort of a collaboration. So he forged a few knives. I'm going to make the sheath for the knives. And we are going to sell them. And it's going to be a very limited edition. So it's going to be very cool. And
Four blacksmith knives. Yeah. Two small ones and two bigger ones.
Exactly.
Nice.
So it's on its way. It's not done yet. It's not ready to be sold yet, but we'll advertise it properly when everything is ready to be advertised. But if you are interested already, you can just send us an email or whatever and take an option on one of the knives.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, do we have a topic for today?
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. How often do you try something just to see that it will fail like you expect?
Oh, that's a big one. Try something expecting it to fail is...
Never, because that would make me a pessimist.
Yeah.
No, but... I want to flip this, because like with the story from a few weeks back when I got a bill for the propane I ordered, mm-hmm. and I basically asked them, like, that seems really high. Can I get a lower price? And they said yes. I didn't expect them to say yes. I kind of assumed they would say no. But then again, I asked and I was lucky.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The same goes with the steel. When I ordered steel now, they gave me a quote and I said, can you give me a discount? And they did give me a discount.
Yeah, I work in sales. That's not surprising. That's something I do every single time.
Mm. Yeah, but normal people like me, no, that doesn't work. I'm not more normal. People like me don't always have that impression, because like in my line of work, this is the price. We can discuss ways of lowering that, but mm-hmm. only to a certain point.
may I interrupt?
Yeah, yeah.
In that one, because when it comes to prices, and this is something that I thought also think that's really like a German or European thing. When they talk about a price, a lot of people think because that's the price. Because we read prices off of tickets and like we don't ask. Even if you go into a normal store, you can ask for a discount.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that people think that is something that's fraud upon, but it actually isn't. It's something that's even like in most nationalities is quite calculated in. It's like the bargain is something that's normal. It's just something that got out of fashion in Germany, for example. But the prices don't reflect that. You always have a little bit of a margin. If they want to give it or if they say, no, the price is the price, it also depends on how you feel about it.
Mm.
For example, like I usually don't do, like if I go into a clothing store, I don't do it because I know those prices are usually set. So this is something like I'm basically contradicting myself in that because I don't, for example, I don't do it for clothing. I don't like doing it when I talk to makers.
Yeah.
Because they calculate the price and I want to give them, like, this is showing me appreciation, not bargaining for the price.
Yeah.
But I almost do it every single time for electronics.
Yeah.
If I go in there because they have daily prices and I know they're not refurbishing the prices every single day. So I ask them if there's something you can do about the price. And I do it for a lot of other stuff. I also did it at the, what do you call it? If you go into a, and now I forgot the word for it. Damn it. Like two tool shops. Like the
hardware store.
Hardware store. Thank you. I always, always do it at the hardware store. And usually they give you like 1-2%.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say no, then there's no hard feeling. Like in most of the cases, I buy it anyway, but it does not cost anything you to ask. It's just like in the best case, you get a discount.
Yeah.
I'm not, like I think it's more the reasons, like if you've been an ass about it, but if you're not, it's just saying like, is that the last price? Is there something you can do about it? Mm-hmm. It's not like, well, there's something that costs like, I don't know, $60 and I go there like, well, I take it for 40. Like that's stupid. But it's like, is this your set price or is there something like is it possible for you to give a discount? And usually they say, well, I have to ask my supervisor. They go around, they ask, and then you get 1-2%.
Or worst case, you don't get a discount.
And in worst case, you don't get one, but that's fine too.
It is kind of weird though, because I think when I ordered the oxyacetylene torch and things like that, they listed me like a 40 or 42% discount or something.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But then, like, how much margin did they have on this from the beginning?
Exactly.
60% at least.
The reality is that often they want 100% when they do retail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, this is something quite common.
Yeah, I'm sure it's common, though. But, yeah, in your line of work, you are constantly dealing with customers.
Yes.
I bet in those customers, you have a lot of people asking for discount or just asking, is there a discount? Is there all the time?
So you usually have to do with the technical department first. And when I'm like, when everything is said and done, then we got the purchasing department contacting us. Mm-hmm. And for them, they're basically their private bonus. Sometimes it's depending on how much percentage they can get. So they're fighting for the best price.
Absolutely. Mm. So that's something you're very used to in your in your job, in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, that's not something that I do very often because, first of all, I'm not used to ask for a discount or ask, is the written price the right price or the final price? That's not something I really do.
And I used to keep that separated, but let me ask you something. Did you ever go shopping for furnitures?
Yeah.
But because furnitures for me is like the biggest mafia. My wife and I, when we bought the house, like this is now 8 years back, we went and we wanted to buy a sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked around and I found one that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was set for, I think, 3,500 euros.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, this is way too expensive. So the guy came directly and like he saw that we like walking around it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's too expensive. Well, I can give you a discount. And he immediately cut the price in half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at Steph and she was looking at me. It's like, what is happening? And I'm like, well, wait a second.
if you can do that.
And I'm like, yeah, no, this is just like still like way too much for that sofa. And like, and I kind of started playing the whole thing. It's like, oh yeah, no, not I'm not the sales guy. I can actually be on the other side. And because I was already pissed because the guy came and just, there are people not thinking about it. They're paying the price tag, like the full price of it. That guy came and just me telling him, it's like, yeah, that's not in our price range. Just cut the price in half.
Mm-hmm.
Like neither to say he was a bad sales guy, but
yeah.
So I started haggling about the price. We ended up at getting the whole thing for 800.
Oh, fuck.
Nice. That thing was set for over 3,000 euros, like 3,500 euros.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that gives me the idea, like, and he was allowed, like, he didn't even have to go to his manager to get the price. Oh, I think in the end, he just had to get the okay, the approval for it. But still, that was possible. That means they're still making money of it. Either that or they needed to clear it out to like make room for a new one. But either way, it was possible for them to go low in that price, like for that. And I feel robbed. Like that doesn't leave a good taste. Like even if I got it cheap, that doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth because that means they're basically robbing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good thing that you didn't get robbed. But there is something that you just said that he got the approval.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's complete bullshit in that kind of jobs.
Yeah, often I think it is that they just walk back, they sit down, have a cup of coffee, and then.
Can't comment on that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. let me tell you a quick story. When we decided to come back to France, we were in Japan, Tokyo. I made contact with like four or five companies that were specialized in international moving. Right. So I got five guys coming to my house to estimate the amount of furniture and stuff that we had and wanted to bring back with us. Every single fucking time they gave me a price, and we had this deal with my wife, and it was so fun to do. Good cop, bad cop. But we did that in French. And he couldn't understand a word what we were saying, right? Oh, so he was like giving me the price. I was giving the price to my wife in French. She was saying something that I was completely unrelated to the discussion.
Yeah.
And I was going back to the guy saying, she doesn't agree. It's too expensive. You have to do something for us, man. And we got a discount every single time, right? Yeah. Doing that. But just before giving us the final price, he was like, oh, I need to call my boss. I can maybe make you this new price, but I will have to call my boss. So they were phoning to their bosses, every single one of them, to, in the end, all accept the exceptional discount because you're a nice customer and we want to help you sort of thing.
I mean, that might be bullshit, but it's really true. It's like, this is like no secret. I have... there's certain prices I can decide to a certain point.
Like, yeah, you have a margin that you can work on.
SRP price, and I have a margin that I can freely operate in.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, or if it comes to like lower piece quantities for the same margin, I have to run it through my manager.
Yeah, sure.
I already know that in like 90% of the cases, because I have enough experience. No, he says, right, but it's just the order of things. It has to be done. And I bet it's the same over with the like I work for a Japanese company, but it's the same in any company. You have a freedom, like there's a certain level of qualification you have.
Yeah.
And when it comes over that, you have to run it by. And sometimes it's just a wording, like sometimes it's just a how do you call it? Basically, it's okay if the boss says okay. Sometimes you really have to get the written approval.
Sure, I'm sure of it. That let's say you can play with 10%, and if it's over the 10%, you have to call your boss to get the approval till that to 15% or whatever. But this kind of act from the salesman that we had to deal with was the first time. It was like, okay, that's the way they do it, so they get the approval. When the second one did the same thing and the third one, it was like kind of hilarious that it was like, that's what they've been taught in sales schools.
In sales Japan, preschool.
They went to the same school.
School. It was just an act. It was just like so identical that it was kind of funny in the end.
Yeah.
And after the second one, we understood what was going on. So we decided to play with it. And that was really fun.
And a lot of people try to do that. This is what I'm not trying to do with the customers. Because then, like most of the customers I have, they already know that I've been with the company for 8 years.
Yeah.
So if I tell them, it's like, yeah, I see what I can do. Like, I don't hold your like hopes up too high.
Yeah,
I'm going to run it by my manager, but this is something I need to get approval of. They know that. And that's something that also helps because they know now they hit a point where it hurts so much that I actually have to get approval for it.
Mm.
But this is the same with like every business. And I mean, you try to help each other. This is the other thing. It's like, I think this is more when it comes to like B2B business with other companies.
Yeah.
Trying to rip the other person off. You're trying to help each other, but you have to find where he is not having a bad feeling of paying a price and you don't have to feel bad selling something because that's just as bad.
That's a great point. To get back a little bit to the topic, though, I think what Rasmus was asking, if I understood you correctly, between like reading in between the lines, if you don't try it and you succeed the first time, if you don't ask for a discount or anything, you can get one, but asking for one is kind of expecting to be rejected. If that I understand
correctly, sort of. I ask to verify that this is not an option, kind of.
Yeah.
I think it is very unnatural for people to ask to verify something false. I think everybody wants to verify something they believe to be true.
Yeah.
But that's like a whole psychology thing of what we tend to do. Instead, I think it is a lot more, I mean, just efficient, really, to just go up to someone and say, like, hey, like, for example, I have asked a couple of companies I've been buying tools from, are you interested in working in some kind of partnership? Because I do a lot of social media things.
Yeah.
So far, everybody has said no to that. But then again, I also haven't produced a really, really good example of the content I want them to be related to.
So
I can't just go to them and say, like, is this something you're interested in? And then maybe and if they hesitate, I can go like, listen, here's an example of what I'm doing. And then we can have a conversation from there. Maybe, possibly. But it's not something like I go there really hoping it will happen. It's more like, you seem like a decent group of people running a business. Maybe we can help each other out.
It's always you asking for something, right? It's never them offering you something.
Well, why would they offer me a discount? I mean, some businesses do. Some of their policy is that. But I think that's also a little bit of that fuck off negotiation that they have. So because I get a bit of feeling that usually when I go to these shops and I just need to buy a tool, there's a conversation. I ask them about the tool. Maybe they ask what I will use it for, what I do.
Yeah.
And we have some interaction.
Yeah.
Before I even get to the point of asking for a discount, often enough, they will say, oh, and I'll add on a bit of a discount for you.
Yeah, that was where I was going with that. Like saying that you are a blacksmith, saying that you give classes, that you can become a regular customer, returning customer, they can offer you a discount from the very first transaction that you are
doing. I don't do anything in selling myself. I'm just explaining I will use this. I don't mention the podcast. I don't mention the social media presence. I don't mention any of that yet. This is just me. I need a thing. I want to buy it and get out of here as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
That this is this interaction.
Sure, but that might be enough for them to want to turn you into a return customer by offering a 10% discount or just helping you in your business or just being nice because you've answered a question and you've not been a dick about anything.
It always depends on the feel and what you want to get. But just to let me throw that in, the market right now is really oversaturated by so-called influencers that really try to do it as a job.
So
I would go from the angle, Rasmus, like this is something where you should sell yourself. Don't go from the social media aspect. Go from the teacher aspect. It's like if you get a grinder, just mention to them, it's like basically, well, do you have your version or like you would you like I'm giving classes, so I need it for my classes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one of the systems where you can throw a few more stickers of your company on so people see it and maybe like do something on the price? And then they think it's like, oh, this is exposure, like at the classes that are given, instead of I would like show it on social media for you guys, because this is like a warning, like this is a red flag by now for most companies.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a fairly good point.
But it's
probably, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's also probably better for me to generate the content first with what I bought wholesale from them, or I bought from them, and show them, here's what I'm planning to use it for.
Oh, I would go that at a second step. Like, ask him for, like, if just take an example, a belt grinder. Like, I need a belt grinder. Like, do you have one? Can you throw a couple of extra stickers on it with your company? And also, do you have a few of your business cards? Because I'm giving the classes. Like, are you willing to do something on the price? And I kind of, like, promote it during the class or make it visible for the people on the class. Also, like, give me some business cards so I can hand out. If they like it, I can send them your way.
Yeah.
Like that would be the first step, because that's for them is actual advertisement at the customer, and they're more willing on giving you a discount. Like, at least I would as a company owner, because it's like the best thing that could happen. And then in the second, like, and then I would call it, like, make pictures of it or like do an Insta story or anything. And like the next time just, or tag them if they have social media account, and then they see, oh, also he's doing that. So they're more willing on giving you a discount the next time.
Two things. One that I just forgot. It would come back, probably. No, you said, Jan, that the market is oversaturated with influencers. I kind of agree. Everywhere you see, like, so-called influencers, they are trying to sell you something or promote something, which is kind of very counterproductive to me. It's like, just I'm going to stop watching you if you are promoting something that has nothing to do with the content that you usually do.
Don't get me wrong. It's like there are influencers that are really good in what they're doing. And
No. Sure, they are. I'm certain of it. There's plenty of people who are doing it right, but there is also plenty of people doing it wrong. And just this week, I got an offer, because my point was, the other way around is also true. Like, there's a lot of brands that are trying to get promoted by people, and therefore they are offering stuff to people on the socials that have nothing to do with what they are doing. Just recently, I was offered to get a new vacuum cleaner if I was able to make a video about it. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This week, I've been offered like a lamp, a torch lamp, or whatever, some kind of camping lamp. It's nothing to do with what I'm doing on the socials, and the lamp itself is worth $76. And I was like, No.
Hold on. That's the retail price they want for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, sure. But and it was like $109.99, but discount now this week only $76.99.
Yeah,
I was like,
buy two for the price of three.
Yeah, I'm not interested in product. I'm not interested in promoting the product. And if you want me to make a video about your product, at least offer something that has a little bit more value to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that was my first point. I think it works both ways. A lot of people promoting stuff and a lot of brands wanting to be seen. So if you are a maker, and it leads to my second point, and you want free stuff, don't hesitate to ask for free stuff to brands that are represented on socials. I don't know if you guys remember the collab that I did with Dickies a few months back. It was probably 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's a few months back.
Yeah, a few months back. A few days back.
Back in the day.
Back in the days when I was younger. I did this collab with Dickies, and the starting point was Soph got free stuff from Dickies. She advertised on Instagram and asked her how did you get that? And she said, I asked, or someone mentioned me. I don't remember how she got that, but she recommended me to contact them and ask for free stuff. I sent them an email. I got plenty of free stuff for myself. And then we did the collab. And it was very interesting to me because it's a good brand. Honestly, mm-hmm. I'm not working with them anymore, so I can say whatever I want. The things that they sent me probably three, four years ago, I don't remember exactly, but I'm still wearing them. They haven't moved. It's really good quality. And at some point, I was able to send a lot of stuff from them to someone for free. The giveaway that we did was, I don't remember exactly, but it was probably $500 worth of clothing. And it's really good working clothing. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to do that. But it started with an email. I just asked them, do you do collabs with people making YouTube videos? Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in sending me stuff so I can offer your products to someone that watches my videos in a giveaway, random lottery things?
So sometimes it's a great thing, especially when you got offered sponsorship and you want to do something towards that, but you're not comfortable with the brand that sends you that. You remember with Elgu?
Yeah.
Yeah, same, basically same thing. It's just if you want to work with a brand and you're not comfortable with the one offers you get, you can write the company and say hey, you know what? I'm getting offers from another one, but I would rather do it with you. You have a program like this and it's more likely that they're gonna come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't cost anything to ask. So that's why I did it in the first place. I got that from starting to negotiate the prices, and it loops back to what we were saying in shops, when there is a seller, when there is a retailer, and you can discuss the price and you can have a conversation and but sometimes get a discount. I started doing that in Japan because everywhere you go, in every shop you go, there is someone whose job is to sell you the stuff, right? So I went to stores to buy a TV, an oven, a printer, a washing machine, and there's a guy at every stories of the shop, because it's only one shop on 12 stories. There's a guy, and you can talk to the guy, and you can negotiate the price. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that people were negotiating, I said, "Yeah, why not just try?" And in the end, buying a a washing machine, a TV, a printer, and an oven, I got a PlayStation 4 for free because of the negotiation, right? So when you have the proof that it works, it can work, you are less afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. But you can expect it to fail, in the sense of, I'm going to ask, but I'm not expecting it to be a success. I'm not expecting to get any kind of discount or advantage or free stuff at all.
That comes later when you have more experience.
you need some kind of experience. But what were you saying, Raz?
No, it's that whole thing of just to verify a negative, just to make sure there's nothing more to gain, so to speak.
Yeah, but sometimes you're wrong, and sometimes you get a positive.
And that's
a good surprise.
I would say that goes to all of the social interactions as well. Rejection can hurt, or you can just say, no, this is part of the game, so to speak. It feels weird to say it like that, but it's part of the rules. You get rejection and you get approvals.
Yeah.
You just need to figure out which one is which, and you can't do that until you ask.
It's life.
Don't be a dick. Basically what it comes down
to. Don't be a dick. If you get rejected, that's fine. I mean, it depends on the rejection, but you get rejected in life all the time. Just remember when you were a kid at the kindergarten and you said, do you want to be my friend? No. that's fine. You turn around, find a new guy and say, do you want to be my friend? Yes, let's play together. And that's fine. And you don't get mad at the first person because he said no, because he was busy building a sandcastle or whatever.
Exactly. You just make him eat the sandcastle, then you just turn around and go to the next guy.
Yeah, but...
you're not my friend and you're my enemy.
I mean, if we go just a little bit deeper into the topic, remember the first time you asked a girl out? You were like fucking terrified.
Oh yeah.
And the answer was maybe yes, maybe no. It depends on what happened to you. But the first time I did it, that was a hard no for you.
Same here.
To me as well. I was 5 and I was like, I like you. Do you want to be my girlfriend? And she was like, no. I was like, probably because she didn't even know what the girlfriend was or my intent. And you can have crazy thoughts at that moment and you just wonder why. But I was 5. When I asked again, when I was 12 or 13, it was like a yes. And I was like, damn, it worked. So you have both sides of the story in your own experience. And it works for everything. Rejection is part of life. And it's not only on the social media, it can be in life, and you don't get mad when it's not that important to you.
I still think it's wrong though to go in the conversation and expecting it to fail, expecting rejection or expecting a no. This is where it comes that goes deeper into positivity and into
I get your point, Jan, but that's something that we are trying to teach our kid at the moment. The other day, he was like, it was after dinner, so it was around 8:30. He was like, can I watch YouTube again? No, you can't. Mm-hmm. It's 8:30. Now you need to take a shower. You need to go to bed. You need to go you need to sleep because tomorrow morning there's school. And he was kind of super sad about it. Mm-hmm. So we had to explain to him that when you ask a question, there is always two possibilities, a yes and a no. Mm-hmm. If you ask the question, expect the no as much as you expect the yes.
As much as. That's the point, though.
Yeah.
There and say, it's not going to work anyway, but I'm just going to ask. So,
No, because if you expect a no sort of too much, then you will get a no because they can tell you you want a no as an answer, sort of.
Or you will never ask the question. And that's why some people, that's why I never asked that girl out, because I was so like, oh, no, she will never say yes. And I was miserable. And then I found a new girl and she said yes, and so on and so on. That's life, right? Mm-hmm. But for a 10-year-old kid wanting to watch YouTube for half an hour so bad because he has nothing else to do, and because for him, taking a shower and going to bed is like a little death because that's the end of the day and there is no tomorrow yet. Mm-hmm. It's a hard no to take in the face, right? So he needs to learn that no is always a possibility.
It takes practice.
It takes practice, yeah. So he's asking for a discount in a shop or a what store. You need practice.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do it at least once to get started and to get rejected and say, yeah, I didn't die. I got rejected. He said, no, that's fair, but I didn't die. Nothing happened to me. It's not a shame. And the day you'll get a yes, you'll be so happy because you will get maybe how is it? 42% discount on your gas tank?
Yeah.
Can be great.
And one might be surprised how often one get a yes.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
The thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can also sort of ask it and demand a yes, so to speak. Is that middle ground?
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, don't be a dick about it. Like, don't go in there expecting that somebody owes you something. If you're asking for a favor or something in that is, how do you say that? Like, now I'm missing the word for it.
Hardware store.
If you expect something, exactly. Yeah, no.
Not all the time.
No, lawnmower for the living room. Vacuum. No. It basically don't expect things always to go in your favor. Like, mm-hmm. be realistic with your expectations about it. But
yes,
if you are doing that, like, don't hesitate to ask, because you really might be surprised how often people go or give you a yes for things where you're like, wait, what?
I would try to sum it up by hope for the best, expect the worst. Like, it's like, again, going back to that, because that's something very obvious to me. When I proposed my wife, I was absolutely certain that she would say yes.
Yeah.
But she always had the option to say no, right? Mm-hmm. So part of me was expecting that rejection. Although all the hints that I had was, oh, it's going to be a yes. Maybe if I was not 100% sure, or let's say 90% sure that she would have said yes, I would probably not have asked that day.
You were probably afraid of a no, and that's good, because that means you really want something.
Yeah, that part is also very important. Like, be afraid, be prepared for the rejection, be prepared for the no. But if you fear the no, you phrase it very well, Jan. If you are afraid for the no, it's because the yes is very important to you. Mm-hmm. So it's also a very good indication in what direction you need to go. Mm-hmm. Like, there is this story that I don't know if I mentioned that in the podcast, but I think it also applies to anything in life. There's this anchor, Stephen Colbert, in the US, he's doing the late show or whatever. He explained one day how he met his wife. Not to go into too much details, but he got proposed by... But I will. He got proposed by a woman the day he was supposed to go on vacation to his family, living like quite far away. So he had to take the train or plane for a few hours to go there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he got proposed and say, I have to leave now. I will give you my answer when I get back. He arrived at his family, talked to his mother, and he was like, oh, I got proposed today by a woman. His mother asked, so what did you say? What was your answer? And he answered, well, I'm not sure. I don't know what to answer. And his mother said, well, you have your answer. If you don't know, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really applies to a lot of stuff. If you are not sure about something, that's probably because you don't want the thing. But if you are so afraid to get rejected and get a no about something, that's probably because you really want it. So you can understand yourself better, understand which direction you want to go by trying these questions that we are talking about, like asking for stuff, or and how you feel about the rejection that you might get might give you the answer to all the questioning that you have inside, maybe. Yep.
Something to focus on?
Yes.
Jan, do you want to go first?
No, somebody else, please.
Okay, I'm going to start. I'm going to start because it's going to be very unusual from me.
Okay.
I stumbled upon that video on Instagram. And
That video.
Cool. I watched it probably 20 or 30 times already. I know that I'm going to watch it probably even more. It's a video from CDK Company, which is a dance company. It's a group of people dancing, right?
Now you're talking.
Yeah. And they made this video on a song, very popular song a few years back. I don't remember the title exactly, but the lyrics are, you didn't have to cut me off, you didn't have to... Somebody I used to know. That's the title of the song. Somebody I used to know. If you know that song, the rhythm is crazy.
What is it? Goatee? It's called...
What do you mean?
The singer of that song.
Oh, the singer. I have no idea. Yeah. But it's been used in TV shows. It's a very popular song. Okay, good. Thank you. But there is a rhythm that is very demanding for people dancing on that music.
Yeah, it can be fast.
It is very fast. And That video is absolutely incredible because there's a large group of people doing random moves, and it's as disturbing as it is hypnotizing. It's very, I don't know how to describe it, but it made me feel something, which I guess
Is the... feelings?
No, feelings, very
energetic. Oh, hell no.
But I guess it's the point of the whole video, of the whole dancing, of the choreography thing, of art in general. So have a look, and if you have feedback or if it makes you feel something, even if it's feeling uncomfortable, I think they did their job right. So yeah, again, on the social, it's CDK Company. We'll put a link in the description to that video because it needs to be seen more.
Okay.
Wonderful. Nice. Then I'll go next.
No, I do. I will. Fuck because off. Okay. Now I'm all sorted and I got two of them.
Okay, go for it.
One is because I've been really enjoying that. I'm kind of... At the moment, I'm a little bit at a loss because I really, really like Tom Scott's videos. Mm-hmm. And it's been leaving a huge hole by like watching stuff like that. So I found a little bit of that going into nature with like just short, nice videos. It's Nature Bites.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You guys know that. I think it's from the BBC. It's David Attenborough is also voicing a lot of the videos. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about between 3 and 12 minute videos about nature. It goes about plants, about mammals, just really nice to watch, well documented, and nice bite sizes. The second one is a...
Hold on. Mm-hmm. That's a refocus from, I had to check, episode 47.
Damn it.
100 episodes ago.
Okay. Well, then it should be allowed.
Yes. I just was like, no, I think I started watching that channel because you focused on it a while back, and I had to double check how long ago. And it's like, no, this was a long time ago, apparently now.
Back in the day when I was young. And the second one is a small little channel about a few like funny guys. I think there's like some blacksmithing beginners. It's called, wait, let me check to make sure. Mm-hmm. Something Thornwood Forge.
No, yeah.
We don't trust them.
They just released a video, an introduction to Thornwood Forge. Mm. Watchworthy, who hasn't watched it yet, because I think the channel only has about like less than 100 subscribers.
No. Oh.
But subscribe. It's our fellow guests and also like... Well, there's a Steve in there. just watch it. It's a really well made. Just talking about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Gives a good view into their normal life and why they're doing it.
Episode 1 and 2.
Different. This is different.
This is like an introduction to Thornwood Forge. I think this is like a whole introductory video, just like the overall, something like probably Channel Trader.
But yes, Red. People should also check out the reels and the TikToks
where Joe
has been starting to publish some blacksmith tips.
Yes. Yeah. Especially the second one.
Especially the second one. I agree.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Cool.
And then it's my turn.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
My focus this week is Tom Scott.
Nice.
His podcast, Lateral.
Okay.
I think I might have mentioned before, but I realized I never properly focused on it.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a quiz show, vaguely. Mm-hmm. If you like QI, it's sort of that kind of obscurity things, mm-hmm. where he has a sentence with some hidden clues and you need to ask questions to figure out what really happened. Why did it happen? What's going on in all of this? And he's had a lot of other really great and interesting hosts on, including the people from Let's Learn Everything that I focused on a while back. Mm-hmm. And it is mayhem and carnage and a lot of fun. And it's also one of those things where you are sitting there, you're thinking, you're trying to figure out the question. And so every once in a while, you think you have the answer really early on, and you get really frustrated because nobody is asking the question related to what you think it is, mm-hmm. until they suddenly either confirm or what's the opposite of disconfirming?
Deny.
And then, yeah, deny your hypothesis of what it is. And it's really fun. It's really interesting. And there's a lot of like fun fact stories and weird happenstances from nature. And now there's also, I believe, 2 episodes with Adam Savage as a guest.
Okay.
Just to get the maker community really excited about this thing.
Okay.
Cool. So,
nice.
Lateral with Tom Scott. Any last little tidbits?
Yes, I have one quick one. I think people know that crabs outgrow their shells, but apparently there's more to it. So,
yeah, because someone is being too harsh on the editing on fun facts, apparently.
Yeah, so I'll try to correct that. Or
one could almost say that someone loves to interrupt Rasmus, even when his this funny bits.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No,
there is more. There is more. Do your research.
Yeah, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Still Maker Central. People should still come because it's going to be fun, even though only I will be there and not you guys.
Yep.
But yeah. Maker Central, Birmingham, 18th and 19th of May. And it's going to be absolute carnage as per usual in the Hilton Bar, probably after the show as well. But if you feel like meeting and dare to meet like-minded crazy people who wants to put crazy things together and do fun stuff with objects. That starts to sound weird now. You should come to Maker Central because there will be a lot of fun.
Come anyway.
Even if it's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you want to get a hold of us for fun purposes, you can do it collectively at patreon.com/2/3focused. And 2/3focused on any of the mostly social places. Mm-hmm. And you can find me at Rasmus Lowen and lowensmead.no.
And you can find me at the Red Smith or Red Smith everywhere on the internet, more specifically at theredsmith.com.
And you can find me at Jan Maxwell or at Nerd Inventor, mostly on Insta and YouTube.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Till next week.
Bye-bye.